Thank you, Brother Mike, for the reading as well as that special. And just like the cantata last week, if you were not blessed by that, your blessers broke. That was a blessing. Thank you, Brother Mike. I thought I would read this for the parents here. I think you might enjoy it, especially considering some may experience this tomorrow night, as tomorrow night is Christmas Eve. And so I thought I would read this. I think you might enjoy it. It's a parent's night before Christmas. 'Twas the night before Christmas when all through the house I searched for the tools to hand to my spouse. Instructions were studied and we were inspired in hopes we could manage some assembly required. The children were quiet, not asleep in their beds, while Dad and I faced the evening with dread. A kitchen, two bikes, Barbie's townhouse to boot, and thanks to Grandpa, a train with a toot. We opened the boxes, my heart skipped a beat. Let no parts be missing or parts incomplete. Too late for last minute returns or even replace. If we can't get it right, it goes in the basement. When what to my worried eye should appear but 50 sheets of directions, concise but not clear. With each part numbered and every slot named, so if we failed, only we could be blamed. More rapid than eagles, the parts then fell out. All over the carpet they scattered about. Now bolt it, now twist it, attach it right there, slide on the seats and staple the chair. Hammer the shelves and nail to the stand. Honey, said hubby, you glued my hand. And then in a twinkle I knew for a fact that all the toy dealers had indeed made a pact to keep parents busy all Christmas Eve night with assembly required till morning's first light. We spoke not a word but kept bent at our work till eyes they were bleary, our fingers all hurt. The coffee went cold. Oh, what a tragedy. The coffee went cold and the night it wore thin, but we attached the last rod and the last pin. Then laying the tools away in the chest, we fell into bed for a well-deserved rest. But said to my husband just before I passed out, this will be the best Christmas without any doubt. Tomorrow will cheer, the holiday will ring, and have not to run to the store for a thing. We did it, the toys are all set for the perfect, most perfect Christmas, I bet. Then off to dreamland, I gratefully went. Then I suppose there's something to say for those self-deluded. I'd forgotten that batteries are never included. So I thought you would appreciate that, those parents. I think maybe the Gezi's got some little ones. Have fun putting the Barbie house together. And oh, wonderful, wonderful time of year. Amen. Well, today we're going to talk about the wonders of Christmas. The wonders of Christmas. When you think about many of the wonders of the world, Petra, the city on the hill, and the Colosseum in Rome, and of course the Taj Mahal in India, or the Great Wall of China, some of those man-made wonders. And then you think about some of the natural wonders, the Grand Canyon, Mount Everett, or the Northern Lights. When I was in Michigan, you can actually see the Northern Lights if everything's right. And I tried so hard to see the Northern Lights. Now, obviously, it's not as dynamic as the Northern Lights in Alaska, but I heard you can see them, and I didn't get to see them. Maybe someday. Maybe someday. The Great Barrier Reef in Australia. Some of these amazing wonders. Well, Christmas is a season of wonders. Of course, the wonder of the birth of Jesus Christ, who we see in this wonderful story where the instruction came from angels and he was conceived of a virgin. And he was born of a virgin and then God became man. And then also the wonder of beautiful music, some of it we've heard all throughout this month, these beautiful songs about the birth of our Savior. The wonder of gift-giving and receiving gifts, a tradition that we will read about here this morning, began with the gifts given to Jesus. The wonder of the children and their happy faces on Christmas morning. Of course, as parents, it's our responsibility to tell them the real reason for the season. Amen? But unfortunately, because of our world today, many lose the wonder of Christmas. You know, the commercialization of it and the oh, just the hustle and bustle and the rushing arounds and the crowds. My wife and I yesterday were driving around and we thought about stopping into Walmart. Until we saw the parking lot. And I said, there's got to be another store we can buy these things. And because of all the things that we go through, all the hustle and bustle and the crowds, I think many times we lose the wonder of Christmas. Rodney Gypsy Smith, a British evangelist, referring to Christmas, said this: I have never lost the wonder of it all. I have never lost the wonder of the law. And hopefully, believers, today as we come in to God's house, we will never lose the wonder of Christmas. Even through all the commercialization and all the rushing around and all the crowds, hopefully we come in today embracing the wonder of the Christmas season. This miraculous, historic story that we're going to spend some time reading about today. Where the wonder of the birth of our Savior and the wonder of the Savior of the world took place. So looking at the wonder of Christmas first, the wonder of fulfilled prophecy. The wonder of fulfilled prophecy. Going back to our text here, starting in verse 1, chapter 2, verse 1 in Luke. It says that it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made by Cyrenius, and the governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room in the inn. Let's stop for a moment and pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for our time here at Grace Bible Church, where we can come and fellowship with one another and encourage each other and pray for one another. Lord, we so thank you for our time here this morning, where we get to remember and celebrate the birth of our Savior. Focus on the wonder of Christmas, because so many things had to happen for this Christmas story to take place. And so we thank you for loving us so much this morning that you would send your only begotten Son to be born in a lonely manger, and that would one day die for the sins of this world. And so we thank you for that this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd have your hand upon me this morning. Fill me with your Spirit. And I pray that everything that was said behind this pulpit today would bring you glory. We love you and thank you. And we say this in Jesus' name. Amen. The wonder of fulfilled prophecy. The wonder of the Messiah's birth and this major fulfillment of prophecy. When you think about odds, and I know, as Christians, many of us don't know what odds are because Christians don't gamble, right? Amen, Pastor. But the odds, when you think about the odds of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ being fulfilled, those prophecies being fulfilled, just in the birth of Christ, is 1 in 100 trillion. 1 in 100 trillion, and that's just the birth of Christ. That's not counting the over 300 fulfilled prophecies in Jesus' life. We would need a mathematician to go over the odds of those occurring in the life of Christ. If you think about birth, every birth is a miracle and gift of God, but this was truly a miraculous birth as God became man. Jesus entered history as God in the flesh. And when you look at the Gospels, each Gospel has a specific theme for Jesus. Matthew looks at Jesus as the King of the Jews. The theme for Jesus is his King of the Jews. In Mark, it is Jesus, the suffering servant. In Luke, it's Jesus, the Son of Man, and in John, it's Jesus, the Son of God. Now, the interesting thing is that it is believed that Jesus actually preferred the theme, the Son of Man. It was actually utilized 80 times in the gospel alone. I believe that shows how much Jesus longed to be that suffering servant, that one that would be the sacrifice for all mankind. You know, Luke here affirms Christ's divinity, but his emphasis is on Christ's humanity. Now, we know that Luke was a doctor and a Greek, and so this great detail is in his inspired writings is appreciated, because as a doctor, we know that Luke obviously knows how a baby's conceived. I think if you're a doctor and you don't know how babies are conceived, you might need to go back to elementary school, or maybe middle school. They teach you that now in middle school, don't they? In public schools. So he obviously knew how babies were conceived, so we appreciate his detail of Jesus' divine conception and birth. Because Christ's divinity had to be emphasized before his humanity could be expounded upon. Go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 1, maybe a page back as we take a quick look at this. Luke chapter 1, we read this passage last week, starting in verse 26. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. It says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? That is very important. Verse 35, And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And in verse 38, Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. You know, the virgin birth of Christ was vital in the emphasis of his deity, because he had to be born without the sinful nature passed on by Adam. We see this wonderful miracle as God became man. We also wonder, as we've wondered about the fulfilling of prophecy at his birth, also at his birth location. Going back to our text here, look at verses 1 through 3. It says, And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made by Cyrenius and the governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. You know, Caesar Augustus, this decree, this census, played a major role in the fulfilling of this wonderful prophecy. Turn to Micah chapter 2. I'm sorry, Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Verse 2, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Now turn to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. Look at verse 14. It says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which we know means God with us. Well, both of these prophecies were fulfilled almost 700 years later at the birth of Jesus Christ. And so we see Caesar Augustus in this census. This Roman census was to aid the military. The Jews didn't have to necessarily serve in the military, but they still had to pay taxes. There was no way they could avoid paying taxes. So this tax forced Joseph to make this long trip to Bethlehem to pay his taxes. And of course, because we've read in our text, because Mary was great with child, he had to take her with. Thus, fulfilling this long-awaited prophecy. Second, we look at the wonder of the sent messengers. The wonder of the sent messengers back in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. It says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You know, we look at the wonder that moved the angels to glorify the Lord. Now, if we read through Scripture, we would see that the angels had a lot of different titles. Holy ones, heavenly host, heavenly beings. But the angels were actually classified as messengers. Obviously, they were servants to God, but more times than not, they are classified as messengers, and that is the role that they fulfilled, mostly here in this passage that we have been reading. First, we see the appearance of Gabriel to Zechariah in Luke chapter 1. So flip back a page, we take a look at that. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 11. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. And the angel said unto him, fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy with gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. You know, we see the wonder at the announcement of John the Baptist. This man of God that would tell many the good news of Jesus, the good news of the coming Messiah, and would be the man that would actually baptize Jesus in obedience to the Father. We also see the appearance of Gabriel to Mary. We just read that text here in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38, where this blessed woman, this woman that was blessed among women, who had favor in the eyes of God, this Virgin Mary would conceive Jesus in her womb of the Holy Ghost and would give birth to the Savior of the world. And And I know many of you are familiar with the song, you know, Mary, Did You Know? I wonder how much she really did know to the extent of what was happening in her life, to the extent of the birth of her first son, that he would be the Savior of the world. Next, we look at the appearance to Joseph. The appearance to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Verses 18 through 25. Verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise when, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till he had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And the thing that's interesting about Joseph, I see that here, not only we hear that he's a just man, but I think he also shows that he is a man of character, he is a man of humility, and he was a man of obedience. We also see the appearance to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, again, is a text that we just read. The appearance unto the shepherds. You know, the wonder of the multitude of angels praising God and saying in verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You know, the wonder of the multitude of angels praising God in all of his glory. And my prayer today is that as we come here today to Grace Bible Church, that hopefully as believers, we are here today to praise God and give Him glory. As we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, think about the things that you've been saved through. If you're here today and you know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, boy, you could probably do real quick a little bit of inventory about what you've been saved from. Some got saved as a child, some didn't. Think about the fact that through Jesus Christ, we were pulled from darkness into this marvelous light. We were rescued from being slaves to sin to now having the forgiveness of sin. We are saved from eternal death unto eternal life. You know, the gospel declares God's glory and His grace. And when that one soul is saved, the angels will glory again. We see in Luke 15:10, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And hopefully we're here today, if we're believers, if we know Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we are here today to praise the Lord this morning. Third, the wonder of the praising shepherds. The wonder of the praising shepherds. Looking back at our text in verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Verse 16. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And as they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. You know, the wonder that moved the shepherds to go is the next thing we will look at. And we see that they were given the good news. These humble men received the good news in verses 10 and 11. For the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." You know, imagine being one of those shepherds. You know, kind of a routine day, shepherding your flock. I'm sure it was a quite exciting job occupation. Sitting around watching your sheep. And then as the sheep began to settle, nightfall began to approach, and I'm sure they began to gather themselves around a fire and talk about whatever shepherds talk about. And then they would receive this wonderful message that the Savior is born. And I appreciate their response here in verse 16. And they came with haste, even jumping back to 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them in heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste. They could have made excuses, couldn't they? They could have said, "Wait a minute, I got this exciting job. I don't want to lose my job as a shepherd. I got this great job. We can't leave the sheep." Or, "Oh, it's such a long journey." They could have made excuses. I understand they were visited by angels, but they still could have made excuses. They still could have said, "Well, you know, we'll wait a little while. You know, let me get these sheep to the right place and then we'll go see it." No, they went with haste. And then after they found the baby Jesus, what did they do? They went to share the wonder. They went to share about the birth of the wonderful Savior. Now today, those that know Christ as Savior, we know the wonder of it all, don't we? We know the wonder of Christmas. Are we sharing it? Are we sharing the wonder of Christmas, the real reason for the season, the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ? Now, I understand we've talked about this over the last few weeks, and I think now there's going to be a transition from maybe us sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, sharing the wonder of Christmas to those that are strangers, because we're probably not so much in the stores, or hopefully we're avoiding Walmart at all costs. And maybe we're not sharing it with strangers, but now as we get closer to Christmas, we're starting around family, aren't we, and friends. Are we going to share the good news? Are we going to share the wonder of it all to those family members that need to know about Christ, that need to find Jesus, to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior? Because we see here by these shepherds that not only did they go with haste, they went immediately, they didn't make excuses, but they also shared the wonder of it all. Last, we look at the wonder of the worshiping wise men. The wonder of the worshiping wise men. Turn to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, please. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. "And now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, and in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him.' And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. But thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee, shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Verse 9, and when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they heard, when they were come unto the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. You know, we look at the wonder that moved the wise men to give. You know, not a lot was known about these wise men. It's believed that they were astrologers or philosophers, but we don't really know exactly where they came from. We don't know exactly when they arrived. We don't know exactly how many there were. Now, tradition usually implies that there were three wise men. But there's no biblical proof that there was actually three. A lot of people believe that because of this particular tradition, that it was implied due to the one-to-one theory, which is basically one gift from one man. So we don't have any scripture that implies it was actually three, but it does seem that there was it was a small group. And the reason why that is thought is because you think about some of the treasures and the gifts that they showered upon Jesus. Well, it wasn't to the point where if there was a large number given to him that it would really change Joseph and Mary's financial status. But also in the fact that they were able to slip away unnoticed. So it is believed that it was a small group. But some things we do know is we knew that they came to find Jesus, the King of the Jews. And there might be someone here today that someone invited you to church, or maybe you're just somebody who comes during Christmas that needs to find Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I pray as we continue this morning, the Holy Spirit would work in that heart that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And they say, you know what? This Christmas, I want to know Christ as Savior. I want this Christmas to be the day of salvation for me. I want to know without a shadow of a doubt where I'm going to spend eternity. I want to be able to celebrate the wonder of Christmas and the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We also know that they came to worship Jesus. Going back to verse 2, it says, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. We know that they came to worship. And hopefully today, as believers, we came to worship the Lord today. But my challenge is this. Shouldn't we worship him every Sunday? And not just during the Christmas season? What about this? Shouldn't we worship him every day, every hour, every minute, and every second of our lives? Because think about it. God came in the flesh to save us from our sins and eternity in torment. My wife shared this with me from Facebook. Because I don't do the Facebook thing. It seems like an awful waste of time to me. But I'm not going there. Don't want to get in trouble. But she shared this with me. And I thought it was interesting. A non-believer said, if God's so great, why doesn't he show himself? If God's so great, why doesn't he show himself? And you know what the believer's response was? He did. And we nailed him to a tree. He did. And we nailed him to a tree. As believers, we should be worshiping the Lord this morning with our lives. 1 Corinthians 6:20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We should be worshiping the Lord with our lives. We know that they gave gifts to Jesus, and they gave sacrificially, and they gave treasures. What do we treasure this morning? What do we treasure this morning? Saw another picture, was pretty interesting. A little stick man holding up his heart to God. And he said, this is all that I have. And God said, that's all that I want. He just wants our heart. He wants our lives. He wants us to give our life to him as a treasure. And we see that this tradition, you know, we talked about it here. We definitely enjoy this tradition today of giving gifts. And when it comes to giving gifts to other ones, we'll give sacrificially. Do we give sacrificially to the Lord? And not just during Christmas, but every day. And not just our tithes and offerings, but our lives. Do we give sacrificially the treasures of our life to the Lord? How thankful are we this morning that Jesus left the presence of the Father to be born on this earth, that would one day stand before sinners and then die for the sinners of this world? He would die for you and me this morning. George Mueller was quoted saying this: giving is not measured by what you give. It is measured by what you have left. What are we willing to give Jesus this morning? Are we here to praise him? Are we here to worship him? Are we here to give him our life? You know, all of the wonder that God has given us in this incredible miracle, are we embracing the wonder of Christmas today? Are we embracing Jesus as Savior today? If we have Christ as Savior, are we willing to worship him enough to give him our life in service? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you again for our time here today.